Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary-Kate Grady. Mary-Kate's guest today is Marty Rotel, originally from Hudson County, New Jersey. A talented musician from his earlier years, Marty chose God over fame and has spent over 30 years as a singer, songwriter, and evangelist. Along with his brother Jules, Marty leads the Spirit Power Ministry, and they travel everywhere, spreading the gospel message and especially telling all of the love of Jesus. Marty has cut several CDs, been nominated for various music awards, and has been part of docudramas as well as documentaries, and been a guest on several EWTN-TV programs. Marty currently lives in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and is the father of two children and grandfather of three granddaughters. Mary-Kate?
Thank you so much, Sherry, and we're so happy to be back with you all again here with our program In the Father's Hands. We hope you all are having a wonderful week and enjoying this beautiful fall season that the Heavenly Father has given to us. And before we jump into our program, of course, I'd just like to remind you all to keep JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers and your support. If you need to make contact with JMJ, you can always give a call, 570-289-4670. And their address there is JMJ Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 851, Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. And also another reminder of our program In the Father's Hands. Not only can you listen to it on JMJ Catholic Radio Live, but also our program is weekly made into a podcast. So if you ever miss the program, just go into Google, put in the Father's Hands, and you'll find various formats that you can listen to our podcast In the Father's Hands. And we thank you for your support of that and just passing the word along, of course, about Catholic radio, but also about this program In the Father's Hands. We appreciate all that you do for that. So, okay, let us go ahead and begin, as we normally do, by doing our reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, where Jesus promises, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And as always, it's such a refreshing statement to go back to listen to that from the Gospel of St. John, knowing how much the Father is so thoroughly involved in our lives. He's holding us, and he doesn't want us to do anything without him. And in order for us to thrive and not just survive, we wouldn't want to do it without him either. So we thank our Heavenly Father for that. And I'm so pleased today to have Marty Rotella joining us. Marty, thanks for coming on the program.
Oh, you're welcome, Mary Kay. Good to see, hear you, and everybody out there. I love all you people. You're awesome.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you on. And Marty, we're going to jump right in. I always like to ask my guests if they would share with us maybe a favorite verse from Scripture, just to kind of get us started, and maybe tell us why that verse means so much to you, Marty.
Well, there are three words that are my favorite, and it's "Behold your mother." You talked about the father. Well, I love the mother part. And what's awesome is Jesus is dying on the cross. He's in tremendous pain, and yet he gives us seven beautiful sentences. And one of those sentences is, "Behold your mother." It means to look at. Now, why would we look at his mother? Well, she stood at the cross. His best friends ran away. I don't want to run away. I want to stand there. So I'm going to look at her. I want to hold her hand and look up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you're awesome."
Yeah. Marty, have you always had a great love for the Blessed Mother? What attracts you so much to her?
My mother attracted me to Our Lady because she's the one. My mother taught me about why she prayed the rosary. And she said the rosary was Mary's hand. So she always held Mary's hand because Mary would lead her to Jesus in the best way, the most perfect way. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for that. That's wonderful.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. Marty, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit. Now, I know, and we can mention this later on in the program, people can get your CDs and also get the CD that talks about your whole story your journey kind of into what God has led you to now. Mm-hmm. Would you just maybe just share a little bit with us, maybe a story or two here about just kind of how the Heavenly Father has guided your life into his hands and kind of led you to where you're at now? If you would just share a little bit about that with us.
Sure. Well, I think the main thing is to know that I was in pop music prior to this. So from the age of 14 to 24, I was involved with pop music and God was not in my life. My God became fame, fortune, and money as I was singing the national anthem for all the major teams in New York City. I was also singing in movies. The first movie I ever sang in was Friday the 13th. Could you imagine? And then
wow.
I was writing commercials. The first commercial I ever wrote was for Kodak Film. I was moving so quickly into Hollywood and Vegas that in 1980, I was offered a record contract to open up in Vegas and act in Vegas for $3 million. That was the deal to open up. They were going to give me $3 million to start in 1980. I was 24. So this was everything I wanted. That's my God. I want fame, fortune, and money. But then, thank God, my lawyer said to me, he said, if you sign this contract, you're going to be rich and famous. They're 100% track record, but you'll sell your soul. What? I said, I don't care about my soul. I want to be rich and famous. He says, no, you'll sell your soul. So then I had to say, well, tell me more. Why do you say that? He said, there's some bad dudes that own this company. They're going to make you rich and famous, but you have to do anything they tell you. I said, like what? They said, well, would you write music for X-rated films? I said, I would never do that. I said, that disrespects women. He goes, you have to. He said, because they own those companies. And if you don't, they won't harm you. They'll harm your loved ones. So you got to do whatever they tell you. And now I'm like, wow, perplexed. I have the devil on one shoulder saying sign. I got the angel on the other shoulder saying no. So I went and asked my father. I said, Dad, what would you do? He said, son, I didn't fight in World War II for anybody to own me. He said, but I'll back you no matter what. I love you. I said, thanks, Dad. And then my mother ran in with her rosary. And she was telling
me. Your rosary, there you go.
Yeah, this is what saved me. She ran, she said, I've been praying for you since you were 14. You were in bars and discotheques doing all the wrong thing. She said, and I was on my knees praying for you. She said, and my prayer, I said to her, what was your prayer to Jesus? And she said, I held the rosary, holding Mary's hand, and I looked up to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, protect my son. Four words. It was so powerful. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, Ma, that's better than your cooking. I was excited about it. I said, Ma, that's beautiful. And that's how I came back, was those four words, Jesus, protect my son. Now, I went to the signing of the contract, and I stood up. I said, I'm not going to sign this now. And they got so mad that they picked the table up with all the food on it, threw the table and the food onto me, walked out cursing me out. And then my manager and my agent, they both knew that I made the right move. You know, they wanted me to sign. They wanted a percentage. They wanted to go to Hollywood, too, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, wow, you made the right move. And then I went home. I said, what do I do now? And I said, I got to get back to God, because my mother's praying for me. I got to get back. And what I did was I'm into history. So I started to do all research on all the religions of the world. It took about 6 months. And then I said, well, which one is historically correct from Adam and Eve till now? And it was Jewish faith. And then it was another faith, Catholicism, which I grew up as. And I said, well, what's the difference? And I said, Jesus. But I don't know Jesus. So I bought a Bible. I read the four Gospels and I fell in love with him. I fell in love with Jesus. He touched my heart so unbelievably that I went to a priest friend and I said, Father, would you hear my confession? He says, I got all night. I said, you're going to need it. So right after that confession, he said, Marty, go into the church and receive Jesus. I received them before. There was a mass going on. And I said to him, I said, what do you mean receive Jesus? He said, the Eucharist, that's Jesus. And I never knew that. What? So I went out there for the first time. I was 24 and I received Jesus in the Eucharist, and I was filled with a warmth, a tremendous love in my heart. My whole body was resonating, and I knew I just can't receive that on Sunday. I have to receive it every day. So I've been the daily communicant now for 42 years. I start with Mass every day, receive Jesus, and that's what has built spirit power, my ministry. Amen.
Wow, beautiful. And so Marty, tell us a little bit about spirit power. What do you, we know that you're a singer, a songwriter, an evangelist. So that's kind of just general, but give us like a little bit of what's your goal with spirit power? How do you share God's love through that?
Well, spirit power, I'll tell you how it was given to me. I did adoration of Jesus for four years, midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning, St. Lucie's in Newark, New Jersey. And I did 4 years, and that's where a spirit power was built. I just listened to Jesus. I was writing things down. Songs were coming. And I remember one day the song Spirit came, just came out of nowhere. It goes like this. Spirit, be my wisdom. Be my words, lift me up. Spirit, grow inside me. Keep me yours. Help me love. And I said, wow, that's a great prayer. It's a prayer of the streets. You know, it's not like something that you really hear in worship. It's more like, let's bring this to the prisons. Let's bring this to the gangs in the streets. I said, wow. Well, the next day I went back and the second song came. And the song was Power. That was the name of it. And it's about the power of God lives inside of us. It's written on our hearts, his power. And this is powerful. And I'm saying, the power of God. Is it within? So it goes like power, the power within, the power of God becomes my power within. So the power of God is within me, and I can bring that to the world in the Holy Spirit. So I put it together, spirit power. And it's about, you know, spirit power is music. I'm writing, I'm producing, I'm singing, but I'm also, what I love is motivational talks. Because sometimes I'm not going to Catholic. Sometimes I love hanging out with atheists. Oh, that's my favorite. You know, so and I go into a lot of prisons. I work with gangs. So the key here is spirit power is music. It's talks. It's retreats. It's motivational speaking and evangelization, as somebody says. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. Marty, I don't know if you don't mind me asking this, but I actually got to hear you speak back in September. And you shared a story with us about how you went to a prison, and I think it might have been down in somewhere in the Southwest,
right.
A women's prison. Would you maybe share that story with us?
Sure. During COVID, what happened was I got a call from the prison, women's prison in New Mexico. I do a lot of work in New Mexico, especially with the reservations, the Navajo Indians, and you know, everybody else down there. I've done 88 churches there, so it's been a lot of work in New Mexico. I love it. But the thing is that they gave me a call during COVID. They said, we would like you to come in and give the women a retreat, you know, 2-hour concert retreat. I said, but who's getting in? There's no, we want you. We're allowing you in. Nobody else can get in. We're allowing you. I said, wow, that's an honor. I'd love to. So I went down there and I'm setting up, you know, the sound for the concert and the talk. And about 100 women are in the room and I'm looking and they're very, very downcast. You could see it. They're sad. So I said, ladies, how you doing? I'm Marty from New Jersey. Blah, 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 blah. And one woman stands up and she says, can you give us hope? What? Hope. Mm-hmm. She says, we have no hope. Can you give us hope? They've taken everything away from us, even our children. We have no hope. I said, well, I can't give you hope, but hopefully God will give you hope through me. How does that sound? They said, okay, let's go. So I spent 2 full hours with them. And boy, by the end, they walked me to the gate as I walked out, and they were crying and smiling and screaming, thank you, thank you. We now have hope. We love you. Thank you. It was awesome. It was an awesome day.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you have any other kind of stories like that, Marty, of just like a tremendous experiences when you went to evangelize and sing?
Well, prisons always have the best stories. The first time I ever went to a prison was a prison called Yardville. It's outside of Trenton, New Jersey. It houses 18 to 28-year-olds. So that was the first time I went in there, and I'm setting up the sound, and this man comes up to me, and he pumps me in the chest, and he says, you better be real. I said, I better be real. So I went to the Holy Spirit in my heart. I said, Holy Spirit, how do I answer that? And I heard this in my heart. Tell him you love him. What? Just say, I love you. So I said, hey, how's this for real? I love you. He goes, you don't even know me. I said, yeah, that's just it. I said, he goes, you gave up a Saturday for me? I said, yeah. To come in here, that's love. I love you. So he turns and yells to all other guys in the room. There's like 100 guys in the room. He goes, hey, this guy's real. I've been saying I love you to every person and every crowd that I'm in front of. I start with I love you. You see, they're the three most missed words in society. And in America, we have, I think, about 3 million people incarcerated right now. Most of them, 80% of them, never had a good father figure. And they never heard the three words from a father figure. So I'm a father figure when I go in and I say, I love you. No matter where I am, no matter who's in front of me, it's three beautiful words, the most perfect words that you can say to people. And that's what Jesus would say to us anyway. So, amen.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Praise God.
This is kind of a unique question, Marty, but you know, you've been doing this ministry for over 30 years now, and
42 years.
42. Okay. Well, sorry. Over 40 years.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. So you know, the gospel message is like, it's always like it's the same, but it's always new. You know what I'm saying? So it's like St. Paul says, "I became all things to all men, so that I could save some." Right. So the main message of the gospel is always the same, but sometimes you find new ways of delivering it. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, you've been an evangelist for such a long period of time. Have you found over these many years, going through, you know, over a generation that, you know, that people need the message delivered a different way? Maybe they don't hear the message the same way as people did 40 years ago. You have to have a different approach to deliver the same message.
Well, there are many approaches, and they're all pretty good. My approach comes off of the Eucharist. When I adore our Lord, He showed me what to do. One of the things I don't do, I never proclaim God or Jesus in public. Never. I never do it until I'm asked. Now, what does that mean? See, I go out and I be Jesus. Instead of verbalizing Jesus, I show Jesus, okay? And the key here is that, I'll give you a quick story. I was playing basketball. I still can play basketball, thank God. And I was 20-year-old gang members from Patterson one day in Gold's Gym in New Jersey. And this boy's covering me, and it's 10 wins, and I come down with the ball. But he sees that I'm old, so he leaves me, and he goes, covers the 6'4" center, doubles up on him. But he doesn't realize that I could stop at the three-point line and take the shot and win the game. So I did. And as I did that, he comes running and he pumps his chest into mine and he says, "What is it about you?" I said, "What are you talking about? Is this something about you?" I said, "That's an interesting question." He goes, "I have to tell you something." I said, "What?" He says, "I'm a Muslim who believes in Jesus Christ." I said, "That's beautiful. Tell me why." He said, "Because Jesus was the only one that walked the earth and showed unconditional love." I said, "Yes, that's true." I said, "But what about Muhammad, your prophet?" He said, "No, he killed people. He didn't show unconditional love." I said, "So why aren't you Christian or Catholic?" He said, "Well, my father would disown me." He said, "And then I wouldn't be able to see my mom and my sisters." He said, "But what is it about you?" And I said, "Well, you hit it. What you see in me is Jesus." I said, "That's my God." He goes, "Oh, my gosh." He said, "What religion are you?" I said, "I'm Catholic." He said, "Can you teach me?" You see, I never mentioned God. I never mentioned my religion. I just beat Jesus. And all of a sudden, here's this boy, 22 years old, asking me to teach him about Jesus. We sat right there. I said, "Come on, sit down." Right at the half court, Gold's Gym. And I started teaching him about Jesus. All the other men, there were 8 other guys. And they wanted to come in here too. So we had 10 men sitting around the center of the court for 1 hour on a Sunday afternoon talking about Jesus, all because... never mentioned it, all because try to be him. See, be Jesus, be love, and then people will ask. That's the key.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow. Yeah, you know, you read in the gospel, and I'm sure that you find this, Marty. You can tell me, do you ever, you know, I know you go to Mass every day and you prepare before you evangelize, but do you ever go in there and end up saying things that you didn't know you were going to say?
That's all the time. That's all the time. The Holy Spirit is, you know, I always prepared, but the Holy Spirit always throws, in baseball it's called curveball, you know, throw a curveball. And the Holy Spirit throws one, but it's funny. It's awesome. And it's so enlightening, not only to people I'm talking to, it's enlightening for me. And I'm like, wow, why did I say that? And, oh, Holy Spirit, that's awesome, you know. And then I can take that to prayer that night and say, wow. We said that. Wow, that's beautiful, you know. And so it's those curveballs. I love them. Holy Spirit curveballs
come out of the blue.
Yep,
that's awesome. Yeah. So you know, one something that happens to people, I think, Marty, when they just hand themselves over to the Lord and our Blessed Mother, the Holy Spirit, is that sometimes you end up doing things in your life that you feel like were just completely impossible, or you just know that you couldn't do them, right? From my own experience, when I was growing up, I was terribly afraid of hospitals and didn't want to be anywhere around them. And now I work at a hospital. And wow. I realized so profoundly that, like, God's hand in that, because I know that I couldn't do that. There's no way Mary Kate Grady could work at a hospital. Like, it was God's hand completely putting all the pieces in the place. for me to be able to move in and do something he wanted me to do that I myself didn't have the strength or was terribly afraid of doing.
Right.
You know, is there like, can you think of a certain thing maybe in your life right now or just over these past 42 years, something that you did and you're like, wow, like that was impossible. I couldn't have done that.
Well, look at this. 4,300 songs. That's about how many songs I've written in 42 years. I write about 100 a year. There's not one song, Mary Kay, not one, that I said I sat down and wrote it. They just come. They come. These are miracles. These are 4,300 miracles. And they just come, and I'm just an open vessel. You know, Mother Teresa always said, she said, you know, be the pencil in God's hand, you know, be the pencil.
Right.
And I'm just the pencil. And so there, yeah, I have that almost every day in the fact of a new song coming. Why? Of course, I go to prayer. I said, well, why is this coming? Like, for instance, during COVID, I wrote a song about hope. I said, why? Well, my people need hope. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a song called Be Still. Listen, be still, be still. Wow, why? Because the people have to be still. So it's I noticed they come at the right time. They come for his people through me. And I just say yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What, you know what? This is now. I'm putting you on the spot with this question, Marty. What's one of your most favorite songs that God has helped you to write?
My most favorite song is called "As I Grew, I Waited," because it's about I was at Blessed Sacrament one night, and Jesus was showing me, as I grew, I waited. And what did I wait for? I waited for my father, especially, to say, "I love you," and hug me and kiss me. My father was a great man, but he couldn't do that because he was a World War II vet, you know, Italian-American. They were very prideful. You know, you just don't go around hugging and kissing men. You know what I'm saying? So he couldn't do it. And as I grew, I waited. And what did I wait for? I waited for that. And I got it later on in the fact of once I have a relationship with God the Father, now I got it. See, I don't even need my father's approval anymore. Now I got it. So that's my favorite song. As I grew, I waited. And what did you wait for, Marty? I waited for love. That's it. I waited for love. Yeah.
Marty, what would you say to people out there that they're waiting for their fathers to tell them they love them?
Okay. One of the things you have to remember is repeat after me, people out there. Ready? I can't change anyone else.
I can't change anyone else.
I can only work on myself.
I can only work on myself.
So you can't change your father or you can't make people do anything. You can only work on yourself. So what you do is you look at yourself and say, I didn't get what I needed. I didn't get I love you. I didn't get a hug. I didn't get a kiss. So what could I do? Give it to other people. See? And that's what lifts you. Now, people say, you know, the worst disease is poor self-image. Everybody has poor self-image, right? But the only thing that lifts poor self-image, by the way, encouragement does, but it only lasts 20 seconds. For your self-image to rise, you got to do good for somebody else. So if you start saying, I love you to other people, how are you? God bless you. You know, whatever, you know, hug them, give them a kiss. When you start doing that, your self-image rises. So the effect from your father not giving that to you goes away. It might not go away completely because when we're on earth, every day is a challenge until we get to heaven, you know. But the key here is to you can only work on yourself. So you then apply what you were missing to others. Give others what you thought you needed. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Marty, what's your favorite prayer?
My favorite prayer?
Yes.
Oh, it's funny because I just sat here and I said, because I love prayers. There's so many prayers. This is weird. It's two pronouns. Ready?
Okay.
You and me. Me and you. You and me. Me and you. Whenever I have problems, whenever I'm depressed, a little anxiety, whatever, I just sit, close my eyes. Usually I like to do it in church, looking right at the Blessed Sacrament, and the you would be God himself, you know? And then you and me, really slow, and really concentrating on the connection of him with me and me with him. Yeah, that's it.
That's beautiful. That reminds me of a story, which I'm sure you've heard many times about. I think it was maybe a man in Ars during the time of St. John Vianney, where the man used to sit in the church all the time and stay there, then get up and leave and didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wondering why he didn't say anything. And he said, well, I look at him and he looks at me.
That's it.
You know, just that connection right there, you know?
Oh, that makes sense to me. And By the way, I did sing right at his body and ours.
Wow.
I think John Vianney's body. Yeah, I sang right in the church there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
At a whole mass. It was beautiful. Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. So, Marty, if people kind of want to check out your music or maybe possibly connect with you, have you come to their parish, can you just give us a little bit of details there to make a connection
with
you?
Sure. My website is spiritpower.org. Spiritpowermusic.org. Spiritpowermusic.org. That's my website. And then the actual, you can go on CD Baby, iTunes, Spotify, all of those. They carry my music too. So just put in Marty Rotella.
Marty, so first name Marty, last name Rotella. Could you spell that for us?
Rotella, Marty Rotella. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And that's how you can get in touch with me. If you go to spiritpowermusic.org, you can get in touch with me. My secretary will lead you right to me. That would be great. I'm going to be in Avoca in the first weekend of March. So if you're around the first weekend of March, Queen of Apostles Church in Avoca, call them and find out if they give a retreat there. So.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's great because a lot of our listening audience would be able to head that direction. So,
sure.
Marty, thank you so much for coming on. The time just flew by, but I'm so thankful to have you on. And please know of my prayers for you and keep up the good work in the ministry. And Marty, we love you.
Thank you too, Mary Kate. I love you guys too. And everybody out there, keep smiling.
Awesome.
We will. And God bless you, Marty, and you and your family now. And thank you all for joining us again for another program. We'll be back with you again soon. Bye now.